Hey, it's Dave. So this week I'm driving to the Grand Canyon with my family in our RV, and the stock market is experiencing some massive volatility, as well as Tesla and many other stocks. So the NASDAQ, actually yesterday, it spiked up to almost $13,000. Now it's down to about $12,300. Tesla was up above $950, and now it's back down to about $873, almost down 80 points in a single day. The U.S. 10-year Treasury yield is up above 3%. So we're experiencing massive up and downs. Yesterday, the markets were up big, and everyone was optimistic, right? There was a total change of tone. But today, the markets are down big, and everyone's talking about the whole world sinking into recession. We've got a lot of so-called experts that can give, I think, an explanation for almost anything to match what the market is doing on that day. So the general public is left confused, and they're wondering, yeah, should they sell their stock before this recession hits? I think we need to uncover what I call an assault, and we've got two things going on. Number one, we've got the pundits. Number two, we've got the stock ticker. I want to kind of deal with these one at a time. So number one, the pundits. So financial networks are giving people what they want to hear, and market timing opinions are mostly for entertainment. So you have a lot of people on TV and elsewhere giving right their opinion on whether the market is going to go down or up, and people are drawn to this type of entertainment, right, to fast money betting and to the short term versus more of a long term perspective. However, for a lot of the pundits and so-called experts, I want to see their 10-year track record, or at least their 10 to 20 year track record, to see if they can significantly beat the index, right, with their stock picks and their market timing. I wonder sometimes if it could all be a scam. I know scam is probably maybe too harsh of a word, but you have lots of people in suits. They're trying to impress people, and they make a lot of money off of management fees, right? That's the business model. The more money, right, you can manage, the more fees you can generate. However, most money managers are underperforming the market over the long term. And I think this is one of the main reasons why we see a trend to passive low-cost index fund investing. So the average annual returns from, let's say, 2011 to 2020, if you compare the S&P 500 index with an average hedge fund, you'll see that the S&P index outperforms, right, and average hedge funds almost every year and by a significant amount. Look at 2020, it was 18% versus 10% for the hedge fund. In 2019, it was S&P 500 31% to the average hedge fund of 10%. Now, in 2007, Warren Buffett made a big point, and he made a $1 million bet with a hedge fund manager from Protege Partners that the S&P 500 would perform better than hand-picked selection of hedge funds over a 10-year period. And yeah, his Warren Buffett handily won this bet. And if you look at this, the S&P 500 outperformed, right, the hand-picked hedge funds by a significant amount. Now, we have a lot of people, right, on media talking about selling with this gloomy news and the gloomy forecasts economically. I think it's possible that some people can sell at the right time and they can buy back in the right time. But I think generally speaking, it's very difficult. Oftentimes, when the news is the gloomiest, it's actually priced in. And a lot of times, the market can rebound even during a recession or even when times are super gloomy, because the markets investors generally are looking forward. A lot of people might think, hey, I'll sell during the recession or right before, and I'll buy back after. However, that kind of is too late, right? You've got to sell actually before, right, the general public actually gets super gloomy, and you need to buy back at the lowest and the most gloomiest point. And this can be actually very difficult to do for most people. All right, number two, I want to address the ticker. And I think there is kind of another assault or kind of pressure on individual investors to actually sell their stock during stressful times. So there is a hyper liquid nature of public stocks, because you can sell, right, your stocks, your publicly held stocks, at any moment. It's kind of like someone coming to your house every 5 minutes, knocking at the door, asking you to sell your stock and giving you a price for that. And it becomes torturous over time. And in a sense, every time you look at the stock tickers for your portfolio, it's like someone is asking you, right, can I buy your stock from you at this price? And it becomes something that over a period of time, a lot of people just sell to end the anxiety, right, of the volatility and the ups and downs of their portfolio. I think we need a strategy to lower the noise of kind of the stock ticker. I think people generally tend to overestimate their short-term timing abilities. And I think the first thing is, yeah, being realistic with our inability or lack of ability really to have confidence and consistency in timing, right? Short-term ups and downs. Also, I think to understand the ticker as mostly just entertainment, as just something maybe to observe, but not really as an opportunity to sell every time, right, you look at it. Also, I think it's also wise possibly not to look at stock prices that often if you're not able to handle that. And finally, I think everybody needs a thesis. So if you're invested in index funds, let's say an S&P 500 or a total market fund, I think you need a general thesis on why you're invested in that index fund, why you think that index fund will outperform over the long term. What are your goals and strategy? How long you plan to hold? Like, what is your exit strategy and how does it fit into a bigger picture? If you're choosing and betting on individual stocks, I personally think you need a valuation projection over the next 2 to 5 years that you make yourself. Sure, you could, you know, borrow on other people, but other people have different, I guess, you know, projections and their views of the future. So in addition to 2 to 5 years, I think a 5 to 10 years also a great idea too. But we need to be realistic. A lot of times future projections can be very wrong. And there's acknowledgement that especially 5 to 10 years down the road, a lot can go wrong or a lot can change. Further, we need to understand the risks of our investments. For example, if we're picking a specific company, how well do we know the product? How well do we know the competition, right? What are the risks of holding that company? And further, how does this fit into the overall kind of net assets that one has and maybe to one's broader investment plan? So as the noise of the markets and the noise of so-called experts and pundits, you know, all shout, you know, buy now or sell now, for me, I kind of take a step back and I look at the bigger picture. I look at 2 to 3 or 4 or 5 years, even 10 years down the road. I want to have confidence that the companies I choose are going to significantly outperform, right, the market and people's expectations 2 to 3, 5 years, even 10 years out in the future. And that's largely the confidence I have to kind of drown out the noise of the ticker, drown out the noise of the pundits and the short-term news, and kind of hold long-term, because I think over time, the long-term holders on the best companies in the world are going to probably outperform not just the index, but most hedge fund and hedge fund managers out there. I hope this has been helpful. If it has, go ahead, like, and subscribe. All my videos can be found as an audio podcast as well. Just search for Dave Lee on investing in your favorite podcast player. I'm also on Twitter at HeyDave7. I'll probably be coming to you from the Grand Canyon the next time I talk to you guys. All right, we'll see you guys later. Bye.